email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yes, you can keep your texts coming in to 51551 now. A great weekend for Irish Athletics. And it is an historic day for one of our greatest golfers as he will be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame. The three-time major champion will be joining Irish legends Joe Carr and Christy O'Connor Sr. in the ranks of the game's greatest players. The Class of 24 ceremony will be held later this evening in Pinehurst, North Carolina. And Padraig Harrington, you are very welcome to the show. Padraig, congratulations, first of all. How are you?
I'm good, Catherine. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Listen, it's a great day for you. A great day for your family, for your friends, for everybody who's been with you on all the way throughout your career. How are you feeling ahead of the ceremony?
I'm working away. I'm reading through my speech as I was waiting on you there. So there's a little bit of work to be done. But there's been a couple of functions, and when you get into those, you start enjoying it. So I expect to actually enjoy the night ahead of me, but at the moment, a little bit of trepidation.
Yeah, I mean, and you did say it kind of feels a bit like the pre-wedding feelings when you're getting the speeches organised and you're waiting for everyone to turn up. But
it does. But actually, worse on social media, obviously, people are posting nice things about me. That feels like it's a wake. You know the way people say nice things when you're gone.
I love it. So, Kamir, they're flying in from all over the world to be with you today. Who actually will be there with you in North Carolina tonight?
I've a lot of people have travelled a good long way. I've about 40 guests with me who've travelled. It's been really good, to be honest. The people who've come and it's interesting. Some of them, like, I think that probably the nicest one is my old coach. He's 87 years of age, has travelled from the UK over, Howard Bennett. So that's kind of special.
Wow, okay.
But a lot of people have been with me for many years.
I mean, that's it. When people talk about your career and how it's changed and you know, how it's developed and the heights that you've reached, a lot of your original team, you've got a lot of, I mean, the likes of Howard Bennett, who's been with you for so long.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I do mention it in my speech. I'm known for changing, but I didn't change much in my career at all. You know, I've had the sort of same management around me, the same coaches for most of my career. There's been a few changes there at times, but generally the same people around me. I'm pretty stable in that sense.
Yeah.
Even though when it comes to the actual game of golf, I'm always inquisitive and always trying to find, I suppose, the next great best thing that you can.
And Kamir, we've all heard of, say, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when it comes to music. So this is the equivalent for golf. I mean, and the Hall of Fame in the States are a big thing. You obviously get it for being utterly brilliant at golf. We know that. But what is the actual criteria for getting into the Golf Hall of Fame?
There's no set criteria. It's pure. There's a voting group of about 20 people involved in golf, some ex-players, some Hall of Fame players, journalists, people involved in the game vote on it. So generally, you'll have to have won some majors, and usually plural, to get in as a player. So there's different categories. I'm in as a player. So every year you can get in as your commitment to golf or what you've given to golf. So there are journalists in the Hall of Fame in a different category. So there's probably, it's going 50 years now. So I think there's about 50 to 100 professional golfers in it.
Okay.
This stage. Yeah. So it's quite a tight one to get into. There's certainly been some controversial omissions over the years.
Right.
It's an interesting one, you know, because they do try and bring in one player from the past every time who might have missed out. But when it's the current players, it's always, there is a bit of voting involved in it. So it can be controversial. There's one or two. Tom Weisskopf's going in here now, and he was looked over for many years. So many people thought he should be in. So yeah, it's one you want to be in for sure in the golfing fraternity, which is quite interesting because clearly in Ireland we never grew up with Hall of Fames in Ireland. We wouldn't have known anything about them. It is a very big deal in the US, but it's actually quite a big deal in the golfing world in the sense of I still play in the Champions Tour, and so I'm playing in tournaments and my peers some of them are Hall of Fame guys, so I want to be that.
You know, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you like get to a stage in your career where you go, okay, I want to be a Hall of Fame golfer? It's something that you aim for.
Oh, I think yeah. When you're going along in your career, the golf is quite good. There's a lot of little milestones. You know, you might want to, you know, turn pro, get in the tour. You might win a tournament. You might go for the Ryder Cup, and then all of a sudden you're going for majors. And the minute you start hitting that sort of track, if you're trying to win majors, you're now going to probably judge your career on whether you get to the Hall of Fame after that.
Amazing.
So yeah, it is a sequence, but it's very much dictated, I think, by very much by the people you're around. So some of the guys I admired growing up, just as I turned pro, the likes of Ernie Els, Retief Goose, and they're in the Hall of Fame. So guys like that, I would have played against, competed against, maybe started winning, and you know, so that kind of says, oh, well, if they're, I want to be with them, sort of thing. So it is quite aspirational.
Yeah.
But certainly not something I grew up with.
Yeah. And extra special for you this evening because your son, Paddy, he's introducing you tonight, is he?
That's correct. I haven't heard his speech. We did rehearsals yesterday, and he rehearsed his speech a couple of times when I was there, and I left the room. So I didn't want to hear it. I'm looking forward to hearing it tonight for the first time.
Oh, brilliant. And you were saying you were getting your speech ready there. Have they given you 8 minutes, which is quite tight? Is it 8 minutes that you're only allowed?
They gave me 8 minutes, and I put in 15 minutes, and they didn't bat an eyelid. So I think they were just trying to keep me to a reasonable amount. So I think I'm at about 15 minutes. So
okay. And is there anybody you could take the time here? You might have a bit more time, but is there anyone you want to thank or anybody that you want to mention? Because you're so loved, Padraig. I mean, whether people are into golf or not, you are a national hero. And just even listening, we were talking about the achievements of our Irish athletes who were over at the European Championships in Rome at the minute.
It's been brilliant.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. And we love our sports people. We love you.
I actually think we're very, very good in Ireland. Mm. I know sometimes people criticise Irish. I don't think so. I think we're pretty damn good at supporting our sports people. I think in general, now I must admit, I meet a lot of Irish people around the world, and Irish people, once they're outside of Ireland, become incredibly Irish, and they love everything to do with it. But I think in general, we're like, there's a fair outpouring of emotion for those wins, the two gold medals so far in the European Championship. I think we beat ourselves up at times that we could be miserable and run people down. I don't see that too much at all.
Listening to the reaction from the guys there, our athletes, and the work they put in, and it's just to see them get the success that they deserve is phenomenal.
I'm looking from an athlete's perspective or a sportsman's perspective, and they put in the time. We all dedicate our lives, but they dedicate their lives, and like, the reward is not that big when it comes to athletics.
Mm.
You know, it's not like golf. The reward is incredible, and it's, you know, as a living, it's well worth chasing in golf. But you know, I look at the dedication and the time to put in, and it really is purely for the reward of winning.
Yeah,
the love of it. It's very, very important. But I will say, I don't know an athlete that chooses their sport, as in the sport chooses them. So it's not like people are like, I didn't choose golf because there was great financial rewards. I choose golf because I was good at, or I had access to it.
Mm.
You know, it was just there.
You could have gone down the GAA route. I know your dad was big into the GAA back in the day. And you did. You went to a couple of games and went, oh, not for me.
No, not really. No, I only didn't. I could be like Paul McGinley and tell you I could have made it. But I captained my high school team all the way up to 17 years of age. So I thought that was going to be my sport.
Yeah.
But what happened is I just had more success at golf.
Okay.
And you know, again, a lot of sports, people play, you play your sport, like, the field hockey club was closer to me, or my dad played field hockey down the road, I'd be playing field hockey and would be retired. It just happened that my dad played golf, or started playing golf.
Mm.
So sport, it's what's near you. So, and this is why we always talk about facilities and things for people. In the end of the day, if there's a soccer club 2 minutes around the corner from you, that's where you're going to hang out and play with your mates.
100%.
And you'll end up playing football. you know, and that's, the GAA have been unbelievable in the country because there are GAA clubs everywhere and they are close to everybody. And that's where you hang out socially and you hang out with your friends. It's just sport. It's just about opportunity. It really, really is. And all those athletics winners will tell you, they had some connection. Somebody maybe in the family brought them to the club. There was a club nearby.
Mm.
They started going. And then all of a sudden, now you have to have the connection. But once you start winning and you start getting good at it, all of a sudden, then it becomes the passion after that. But there has to be an introduction somewhere along the line.
And you know what? It's been brilliant over here, even over the weekend, watching the news cameras going to the Tallaght Stadium and listening to all the under-7s and the under-12s and listening to their reaction to the wins in Rome, you know? And that's what it is. It's about being that role model, of which you've been to a lot of young golfers as well.
Yeah, it does work like that. You do need people to break the ceiling. So, we've won before in middle distance running, but like I suppose sprinting, was it 60 meter indoor? We've had a sprint champion before in Gerbler. So you need somebody to do it. There's no doubt it's a lot easier when somebody breaks that glass ceiling, gets through, and it means that other people will go, well, they did it, I can do it too. And, you know, for us to win sprinting medals, it's just phenomenal. And there will be people who will believe more because of it.
Mm. Talking about, you know, career highlights, you have had so many. And I'm sure even trying to shorten it down to get those maybe mentioned in the speech tonight has been a difficult one for you. But have you got particular ones that stand out?
You know, I don't talk about my career at all.
Do you not
talk about? No. Well, I mentioned it in the second line of you know why I'm in the Hall of Fame. But you know, I my whole speech is about how I got to this, not what I did. Mm. I hope you know it's pretty evident what I did to get in. And you do only get in performance. That's the it's what you won and that's it. They judge it based on that. Outside of that, but it's how you get there, I suppose, is what I'm talking. You know, I'd be telling a few stories about, you know, different things that happened that motivate me along the way. Try to get in, as you mentioned earlier, the people who got me there. I talk a good bit about my family, obviously. I talk a good bit about my coaches who've been mentors, a lot of them. Like Dr. Liam Hennessy has travelled. I've been working with him 26 years now.
Okay.
And like, you know, he's more than just a trainer, you know. They become your mentors and very close, and players, you know, too. Some players, you know, Paul McGinley will be here tonight, and you know,
I was just going to ask you, is he going to make it? I know he's hoping to be there for sure.
Well, yeah, he told me he was going to be here. But I'll have to cross him off my list if he doesn't turn up. It's nice when it is interesting. There's an awful lot of people that go into it, and it's very circumstantial.
Yeah,
you know, I do mention it in my speech. The number one thing, I was the youngest of five boys. Now, we were growing up in the 80s. All my brothers worked as teenagers. Every one of them at 13 years of age had lounge boy jobs and jobs like that. When I got to that age, I was the youngest. I got everything. I was, you know, you could say I was spoiled in some ways, but it was just I had opportunities. I didn't have to do that stuff.
Mm. Your dad was able to take you to the golf course. Did he retire early? So he was able to take you out when you wanted to hit another five balls.
I spent a lot of time with my dad at the golf because he retired at 50 and was around. And the golf course, again, was 15 minutes from my home. But, you know, as well as that, like, this was getting into the mid to late 80s. Ireland was becoming a little bit more affluent. You know, there was more opportunities. You know, I remember telling my mother, I always thought we were rich. You know, because we didn't want for anything, you know, in the sense of, you know, my older brothers would at that stage, they were 10 and 9 years old, and they actually would have had full-time jobs and bringing money into the household in some way. So, like, these are the things, you know, that fall into place. There's so many things. It's so many circumstantial things that make it happen. And, you know, with hindsight, you look back, you can't tell at the time, but with hindsight, you realise, you know, that you just got lucky.
Mm. And I know you mentioned your mum there, your mother Breeda. She's watching from, she'll be watching from home this evening, will she?
Yes.
She's watching from home.
She's not going to, she couldn't make the trip at this stage, but she's very proud.
Obviously. And you talked about people who've been with you. Bob Torrance, who's also a great influence in your life and career, he gave you some wise advice a long time ago. Can you tell us what that was? He probably gave you lots of advice, but...
I think Bob Torrance was interesting. He, you know, I would have known him, starting with him in his 60s, into his 70s. And he's a man I looked up and said, when I'm in my 70s, I hope I'm like him. Mm. Now, I thought 70s was old now. I'm 50-something now, so I don't believe people in their 70s are old anymore. But I just his outlook, and I think, you know, there was a lot of golf wisdom, but there was some life wisdom in it too. And you know, he used to send me off to the golf course every day after we'd warmed up on the range. He'd send me, we'd be going to first tee, and he'd always say to me, and these are words that as I got older, you kind of mean more to you, you understand. These are the happiest days of your life. That's what he would say. And not yesterday, not tomorrow. These are the happiest days. You've got to make it now. You've got to do it now. You've got to enjoy it now. So all he said was, these are the happiest days. You can interpret it how you like, but it genuinely to me, it just means, you know, there's no point in waiting for tomorrow. You know, it's today. And whatever you did in the past, that's great, very good. But it doesn't, it's now. So these are the happiest days of life. There's a lot. You know, if you knew the man, he was just a lovely man to be around. And as I said, just exceptional passion for golf.
Absolutely. And you better take that advice on board now tonight and enjoy it and be in the moment and be present.
Yes.
For sure.
I'm last to speak. So it's unfortunate, you know the way, as again, like a wedding, once you got the speech over, you can relax and start enjoy it. But no. I'm last one to go tonight. So
you'll be
great.
Sorry to interrupt you. Loads of texts coming in there, Padraig. Ask Padraig if his induction will be screened. I think it's going to be screened on the Golf Channel, isn't it?
It's on the Golf Channel. So for people in Ireland, you're going to have some sort of VPN and streaming service. So I don't believe it's being shown. It will obviously, I assume it would be cut and paste and put on social media channels after it's on TV.
Brilliant.
But you'd need some sort of... VPN to get the Golf Channel, I'm sure, in Ireland.
Okay. Best of luck to Padraig from Carlo Golf Club, where Padraig won our Scratch Cup twice. The club is celebrating 125th anniversary this year. Joe Carr also won our Scratch Cup on many occasions, and Christy Senior was a regular in Carlo. Great to have all three in the Hall of Fame. Coming in from Carlo Golf Club there. What advice, Padraig, again, you've been so supportive of so many young golfers in Ireland, but golfers starting out who may be listening today, who may be looking forward to a nice summer and honing their skills on the golf course, what advice would you give them?
You know, it's a lot of times the advice are cliches. You know, you really got to have fun. I wouldn't spend much time on the practice ground and spend all the time on the golf course. So get out and play and have fun. You know, if you want to be, like I would say to a lot of, be a bit wild, you know, be adventurous when you play. It's a bad idea to try and hit the ball straight and consistent and all those things at a young age. It just doesn't, you need your imagination. So it just have a go, be a little bit adventurous, wild and learn how to play good golf from everywhere on the golf course, rather than thinking, and this probably for everybody, it's not really played the best when it's all ordered and straight and simple. And yeah, take it on, take a chance and be adventurous is what I'd say to the kids. And especially if there's parents out there, under no circumstances coach your kids. They'll figure it out. It might take them a couple more weeks to figure it out, but they'll figure it out. Just let them at it.
I love it. Let them at it. Padraig Harrington, always a pleasure to chat to you. Enjoy tonight. Remember, these are the happiest days of your life, in the fine words of Bob Torrance. Best of luck, and we'll all be watching for the screening when we can get it over the next couple of days.
Okay.
Have a ball.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks a bit.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.